Welcome in to episode one of the Hobby Hotline Monday Night Heat podcast live tonight. Our host this week, Doug Caskey from Mojo Break. We have Stephen Loeffler from About the Cards, and I'm Tim Shepler from About the Cards as well. We're the Hobby's only live call-in show. We're going to be live every Monday night at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope. Also on Twitter at Hobby Hotline, and we're available as a podcast pretty much everywhere. What's up, fellas? The new show. A Monday night show. We're going to preview the hobby a little bit. What's been going on, guys? You still made it through the weekend, it seems like, huh?
Made it, man.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Doug and I were talking real quick before the show. The hobby's just in a different place than it's ever been, I believe, and different than the world's been just turned on its ear the last few months. So we're going to bring some fun in, have some great stuff tonight. It's going to be the same show, but a new show with the same host, just on a different night. We figured to give more people an opportunity to check in the show and hang out with us, kind of preview the week of what's going to happen in the hobby. Little sneak peeks here and there of new releases and stuff coming up. We're going to have the call in. I'm going to drop that link here in a second. Feel free to come and hop in with us and chat. We love that. This is a viewer-driven show. So
Tim just doesn't want to wake up as early on Saturday. That's all it is.
Man, yeah, like I'm telling you. Trying to get up with having kids on Saturday morning at like 7 o'clock to do the 8 o'clock show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to kind of split it up and we're going to rock it every Monday and Saturday. So I think it's going to be quite a bit of fun. We're going to see all the more hosts every week. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we got a giveaway, but you got to stay tuned. We're going to talk about it later. We're going to be giving away two boxes of Bowman Hobby. So stay tuned to the end of the show to find out how you can win.
Yeah,
boxes.
Lots and lots of fun. So, fellas, let's do a little quick sneak peek. Gotta drop the link in the chat, so feel free to hop in. But we're gonna sneak peek this week. We have Project 2020. I know Ken's in the chat, so he's probably gonna love this. Card number 100 drops tomorrow. Big time rumor that it is the Trout, Blake Jameson, and Ben Baller collaboration card. So what do you guys think? I mean, is this going to top the Griffey 99,000 from last week?
I think so. I absolutely think so.
Yeah, same here. Just because it is the centennial release. The card looks amazing. There's mm-hmm. no reason to churn it.
Yeah, I was stunned by the Maguire today, by the Theo Maguire. I picked it up just looking at it. It had the 85 on the sleeve. And it's a Big Mac land, and I wasn't planning on buying it. And so they're probably going to be a couple of days this week because I assume Brett's coming out with one this week. He hasn't had one in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, Trout being card 100, I think we're going to see some really huge numbers, and whatever card comes with it's going to carry. And maybe they end up being the 1-2 combo after Griffey and Nolan did that last week.
Are you guys seeing any patterns on how they're dropping them, or are they just kind of completely miscellaneous, or just different guys, different times?
That's what it seems to be. I could go back and look. I know that CRT Sports Cards, Chris Torres, is doing a lot of in-depth stuff on it, doing a video a day as they drop. So we'll see what that, you know, if there's a, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he's seen something that way. I really haven't, but every guy should have a card at least once every 2 weeks,
right?
Being that there's 10 cards a week and 20 players. So we had a caller. We got Leroy. What's up? How are we doing, Chris Leroy?
What's up, man?
How are we doing?
What's up, Chris?
Hanging in there. I got a public service announcement.
Yes, sir.
Bowman Mega Boxes dropped today, right? And Targets?
Yeah. Sure.
So everybody out there, I want to give you guys a heads up. Where they were packaged, there was something very deadly in the air. So if you open those things, you are putting your life at risk. Don't worry. Call me. I have a hazmat suit. I'll come to your Target. I'll buy them all up. I got nothing to worry about.
I like it.
I love the PSA, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I know. We saw what happened at Target this last week. I don't know if it's going to be crazy with the mega boxes, but we could assume. So
shit is insane, man. They're already going for over $100.
Jeez.
And all you're really trying to do is get those two packs, and right? I mean, because the other stuff's just the regular Bowman.
Well, the thing is, Topps hasn't even said anything if they've done it different this year. You know, like in 17 and 18, it was just base paper packs. And then in 19, they put actually chrome in the base packs, which was cool. because you could still pull, you know, base Luciano, base Wanders. But this year, who knows? Maybe they put paper autos in or something. But they haven't even released a checklist. You know, nobody knows, you know, what targets. It seems like the targets in Kansas and Missouri already have them. I've already been to a million targets today. I'm never going to fucking find any, so.
Your target's open, I see. Mine are closed, so.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that are in my room on Facebook. They help me out with retail stuff cuz that's what I break. And a lot of them are like, "Dude, I can't even go to Target because they're all closed down because of this stuff," which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love the show, guys, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Drew, what's up?
Love the laugh, man. That was a good little lead in. I love that.
We appreciate that.
Slayer.
All right, have a good one, man.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, because I know that the Target up the street from my house, the police actually went by and had Walmart, Costco, Target, all the big giant retailers close down and lock up real early. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon and said, "Hey, you guys need to do this now." So I think only more of that we're going to come to see. But yeah, if you do find them, you know, it's crazy. I mean, people can. I have no fault in somebody sees a whole shelf of them, wiping it, cleaning it, and selling. If you can make a buck or two and with on it and buy what you want or support, do whatever you're going to do with the extra money, and people want to pay it, then I have no problem doing it.
What about those people on Twitter that are saying, "Leave it for the kids, man"? What do you
the kids would do the same thing if they had the same money. But the thing is that I know these kids have more money than I do because John Newman said that he knew this kid that was rolling the National with $30,000 in his pocket.
Right.
So, yeah, like,
and not Monopoly money.
Yeah, not Monopoly money either. So, we also have a couple of we have tomorrow, first off the line, 2020 Panini Diamond Kings Dutch auction. I know, Steph, you're probably going to get all over some of that, right?
Well, it says maximum order per account 24. So,
load up
full master case right there, baby.
Maybe.
Yeah. Are they still doing the one for National Treasures, right? That was started at 30,000, and now
I believe so.
Yeah, and the low end was 7,500. I can't understand spending $7,500 on a box of NT. Even if you did pull a Zion, the chances of that compared to what, you know, pulling out Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and, you know, Admiral Schofield,
right,
would be crazy for that amount of money. You know, there'd have to be a guarantee of something.
That's going to be interesting to watch because you're talking about a product that's like the same price as Transcendent, right? So you're looking at one box of NT or a box of Transcendent at the price point that it's at. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there's going to be some Zions in there, but there's going to be a lot of losing boxes. And I guess that's maybe where breaks come into play, where you're going to see a lot of people that are going to be buying it are probably going to be breakers.
Yep. No, and that's awesome because that's where I get to watch everybody else spend their money and get to see what's in there and be like, "Oh, cool." And then if there's a guy I want to go chase, then I can do that in the secondary market. So, Steph, you were sharing something here. He has the Diamond Kings coming out. So, Steph, you've been a huge proponent of Diamond Kings. I think it's because, you know, you pulled that Ruth card a few years back. But what keeps you going back year after year?
So it's not your standard release. Some of the artists, I mean, they almost look like Project 2020 stuff, some of them. But it's the threat of, hey, you might get a top rookie, but also you might be able to add something from a historical player like Joe DiMaggio or Ken Griffey Jr. or Honus Wagner, even, the Babe Ruth's here, dual relic, or the Gehrig, or the really nice patch Anthony Rizzo. I just like, that it's kind of like a cheaper, release instead of just buying a National Treasures or a heavy hitting product that would have these guys featured.
What's the first off the line exclusive in the box this year?
So it looks like they're doing Dutch auction on them. And where did that go?
So like a numbered auto to 20 or something like that, what they use. Yeah. I think that's what they did last year.
Something one exclusive similar. Frame parallel numbered to 13, as well as purple material card numbered to 20.
Gotcha.
And a purple parallel auto number to 20 or less.
And what does the Dutch auction start at Diamond Kings?
I don't know that it has a start price announced.
Mm.
12 boxes per transaction starting at 6:10 tomorrow.
Mm. Interesting. What do you think? I mean, Diamond Kings, I think this is the first time it's been Dutch auction. I mean, what do you think a good price is on a box for everybody to wait for?
So normally boxes I can usually find 50 to 80. Being that they're first off the line, probably 100 per. Wouldn't it be too out of the realm to guess?
I would think maybe 150 at the higher end. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see because this is the first time they've kind of done a everyman product,
mm-hmm.
right, with the Dutch auction stuff. Because usually it's the higher end or the really in demand product that everybody chases down every year. I mean, Prism used to be an everyman product, but
not anymore.
Everyman for himself now on that, like, mm-hmm. which is crazy. We also going to have on Wednesday Upper Deck 2019-2020 Upper Deck SP Authentic drops. So some hockey stuff. And then Friday's a big release, Score Football drops. We have Court Kings basketball and also Tier 1 baseball all hitting Friday. So I bet you guys are going to be quite busy this week.
Yeah.
Looks like a busy Friday schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't even got Score posted yet, but I did post some Court Kings on our website. SP Authentic's actually been posted for a while, so that's on Wednesday. And Tier 1's been available. And trying to decide what we're going to do with Score. You know, it's always a fun one for us because it's still college, and you got to do it by the team and stuff like that. So,
outstanding. Yeah. So just a lot going on. We had a question that was sent in on Twitter earlier this morning by Pack_pulled on Twitter. What's your favorite product to bust in terms of value for money? So basically, best buck buy for your buck. Steph, what would you go with?
Just because I'm mostly a discount purchasee, opening day. Yeah, sure. It's not a National Treasures or whatnot, but in that pack started, I think $1, $1.50, $1.99. You can usually flip the inserts for that. Plus, you have the short prints, the rare chance at an auto or one of those relic patch infield dirt type things that sell for a good bit. It's a good flip.
I've been liking 2019 Stars and Stripes. I mean, you could get a box for around probably 60 to 70 bucks, and you're looking at a minimum of 5 autos. And you've got on card Adley Rutschman, Vaughn, some guys that haven't even been drafted that will probably be in Bowman draft this year. So there's a lot of value in that. You get 5 hits, 60 bucks. You really can't match, you know, and it's on card and they're technically licensed because it's USA. So that's a pretty good rip for the price point.
Yeah, no, and I've been racking my brain on this because of what where the box prices and stuff have gone.
Sure, right.
I mean, I talked about this on Saturday, and I told Dan this. I mean, I went to the LCS Greg Lambert owns, and you know him. His prices, like I said, are as good as Blowout.
He was in here this morning.
Yeah, or better.
Yeah.
And I walked in there, and my eyes fell out of my head because, you know, he's still got lower prices than everybody, but I just couldn't believe where they are now. You know, usually I would say one of the best values for me was always like an update. Baseball jumbo box, because when that would drop at $100, you're going to be able to put the set together plus all the update rookies and stuff. You could score away the parallels, that stuff in there. You know, right now I would say going into it, one of my favorite things that this year, and I'm not a fan of non-licensed stuff, but has been the Donruss.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many. If you buy retail, if you buy hobby, there's been so many different parallels in there. And there's so many, you know, rookies that people are going after. We don't know who's going to be good or not, but they turn around and sell. I mean, there's those fireworks, there's the pink, you get a Dollar Tree, you can get a yellow parallel. Like I bought those and I was selling yellow parallels for a couple bucks a piece, paid for everything I purchased.
And honestly, I was going to suggest that as well, but I know that some people are kind of turned off because it's not MLB licensed, but they do still have the Players Association license.
Yeah. So that's, not fully licensed, not unlicensed, not fully licensed, Uncle Rich, So that's probably one of the best ones.
Rich.
So,
We did a lot of Donruss, and I think you normally get 4 hits a box, you know, and I think they're maybe they're closer to $100 now, but still, you know, compared to sometimes you can buy a Bowman box for what is it, $350 for a hobby box now. You're getting one auto. I mean, you could get a lot of value out of a couple Donruss boxes if you don't mind the non-licensed, non-logo type thing. So
yeah, no, definitely. I dropped the link in the chat there if you want to call in. And if you call in today, you're going to earn one spot. You'll get one raffle spot in the one of the giveaways for the Bowman boxes that Mojo has provided today. So check those. Hop in. Let's get a call. Chris is already in the. There we go. Chris already has one. So who else wants to hop in and grab an entry spot for just calling in and hanging out with us? So you know, I don't know what you guys think about. Like we were talking about value and stuff, but like these box prices, like can this sustain when? Like a hobby box of Tops flagship is $100 and something. A jumbo's over 200. I mean, we see series two coming at the end of the month. These case prices have almost doubled from where they were pre-ordered at. And we haven't even seen who's going to be in there. We assume Luis Robert is going to be in there, but I don't know.
I mean, the only way it sustains is if the singles keep selling for what they're selling for. I mean, you look at like Mosaic and, you know, we're, it's like $700 a hobby box, maybe even $800 now. But you have a LeBron stained glass that's going for like $700 or $800, and we're pulling like 6 or 7 stained glass in a case. So they're kind of readily available, but you know it's also the box prices are going so high, so it's somewhat justified. So that'll be something to follow. Once the singles market kind of drops, I think you're going to see box prices drop as well.
So, but why all of a sudden? Why I've seen this? Why do you think LeBron singles of anything have just exploded?
I think it was the Kobe effect. I think you had a lot of Kobe stands, what they call them. And I think now that, you know, Kobe's, you know, obviously rest in peace. I think you see those fans kind of gravitating towards the next thing. And it's the Laker LeBron. And a lot of people view these Laker LeBrons as like they're his rookie card almost because it's his first Laker Uni Prism, his first Laker Uni Mosaic, his first. So, and it kind of just has a trickle down effect through there. So you got your Prism Silvers that are selling for an insane amount. And then you have, you know, the trickle down effect of all that.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I sold a Prism Silver LeBron this year for like $85 and end of the year. Now they're like $225 and like,
it's insane.
But at that $85, I mean, that's a killer. Like that was awesome. I was doing well.
Right. Right. Yes.
Uncle Rich hopping in. How's it going, Rich?
Hey there.
It's not before your bedtime, so that's outstanding.
I know, it's wonderful. I get to talk to y'all.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about tonight? Are you going to talk about that awesome appearance, the awesome Dr. Beckett podcast that came out today?
You were great. People tell me how the two of us sound like, you know, we're just two guys talking in a bar about baseball cards, but the two of you were just as good.
Yeah, he said I'm his best friend.
Natural chemistry with him. The interview went really well. I got a lot into your background, and you sounded great. And I can't wait, as I noted, for the George Howard Brett follow-up.
Yeah, there's a second one to come. No, and he said I'm his best friend now, and that you know we're gonna hang out.
If you show all his cards, you'll be really happy.
that was tremendous fun. I would say a bucket list thing was, you know, any kid growing up in the 80s and 90s that subscribed and had a Beckett to be able to meet, to be able to talk with him and say that he enjoys what I do is mesmerizing. But what brings you inside?
Well, you invited me in the 5:15 intro, so I figured I'd show up. You know, and besides, I'm here. Yeah. There were marches 5 minutes north of me, 10 minutes south of me today. So I figured I'd cocoon in the office until it was time to go and hope that I'd make it home without any issues.
Yeah, well, that's good. I want you to stay safe. And, I mean, looks like you have some stuff around you to keep you busy.
Oh, I got tons of stuff. And I'm going to give you a tour, as I was telling Steph earlier.
The Pringles look pretty yummy. I have an H.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, those are
– it's got a whole box of them.
You can eat around the floor. Let's see if I can move this. But I'm busy processing stuff, and you can see Stefan's desk thereof with all the boxes I move stuff out of to process them for the synagogue show.
Now you notice Angela's desk is nice and pristine.
Not to touch Angela's desk because her desk is a sacred place. Steph, on the other hand, is a little bit different.
Yeah, so these are donations that that Uncle Rich takes in, and they do. He does a with the grab bag kind of thing at the synagogue show. Correct.
Right, and these are actually a lot of these are very nice donations. Somebody who's a longtime collector dealer took advantage of the downtime and cleaned out a lot of his inventory. So nice. There's a lot of mixed years. And when I say mixed years, okay, maybe I don't have Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or, you know, the A1 superstars, but I have all the second level guys and all the 1A guys and a lot of sets you normally don't get. You know, it's very little junk wax for the most part. It's actually really good stuff.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw a box there for 2005 Leaf, which is just difficult to find because nobody is willing to list it. But also, you might end up with the numbered Evan Mathis that you can flip for 100.
Yes, he pulled the numbered Evan Mathis card and sold it for good coins. So there's been some really good Evan cards that have come out. When we first started, somebody sent us like 200 Ken Griffey Jr. Fleer rookies. So, you know, instead of using them as prizes, we actually put like one into every bat, you know, one into each of 200 bags at that show. And we had other stuff. And, you know, we always try to seed the bags with something good. My good hobby friend, Raymond Jones, who is recovering from some minor health issues, for the last show, what he did is he actually pulled out like 15, 20 better players to go with everything else we were putting into the bags to seed every bag to make sure everybody got good cards in every bag.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
And so that's
I'm going to have to come down and visit sometime.
You should.
That is barbecue.
Hey, you got a prize out of it, too. I traded you one of the prizes that was donated. Did you ever get it, by the way? Did you ever get the George Brett signed item?
No, I did not.
I'll tell my friend to get it to you.
Okay.
I don't know where it is. He's basically closed his office.
Yeah.
So I know he's at home because he's inconsistent shipping, but I will remind him that there's a photo that was supposed to be sent to you. So
okay.
DM me your address, and I will remind him he's got to send it out.
I love it. I appreciate it. We're gonna. If you want to hang out with us, we'll
hang.
Awesome. We got Brad who always calls in.
Oh, so check this out, Uncle Rich.
That was from the show.
It's exactly from the show. Nice. I thought you would like that. As soon as you started talking, I was like, I'd yank that out and just show you.
You're going to upset Doug.
I know. That's the wrong jersey. It's the wrong. To be in a Niner jersey.
He was really cool. I got that autograph.
Nice piece, though.
The Industry Summit when they had it in Dallas.
Yeah.
And everybody who posed with him there. He made sure to have everybody put on the Super Bowl rings so you all could see what the rings were.
Nice.
Yeah, the Niners didn't make many bad decisions back in the mid-late 80s, early 90s. That was the one.
Yeah.
Trading him to Dallas.
Well, he actually peed on Bill Walsh's car because he was mad at him. So I think that was one of the reasons why they got him out of town.
But why
so.
Dallas? Why not send him to like Buccaneers back in the day, right?
Seriously.
And there was something about Jimmy Johnson who knew personnel.
Yeah.
He really knew personnel in those days. And it's quite an interesting thing that, he built a team and if it stayed up.
Oh yeah,
We could have had more Super Bowls here in Dallas.
Jerry didn't run him out of town. So Brad, what brings you inside, buddy?
So I got these cards today. These Topps Now MLB 100 players. Anybody else get theirs? And what'd you think about it? I mean, the camera work is just beautiful. The card's amazing. But I was kind of opening it up, and I went, really? I could have. Bought like it looks like a regular Topps Net. There's nothing special about it. Anybody get theirs and what was their opinion of it?
I didn't order that set. I haven't been as much on some of that on the Topps Now stuff recently, just in picking up, things that relate to Brett. But I think one you're going to see probably is the print run is probably going to be somewhat low. And so that's going to be the collectability of it. So,
Yeah.
Right. I saw the images for it, and it just didn't seem like they had anything that was that made them stand out. There's nothing really special to them.
Yeah. I mean, the back is that way. There we go. The back is only 1 year, so I mean that's kind of interesting. But the pictures look like a regular. I'm kind of disappointed. For what they were touting, MLB 100. Okay, well. I could have done something like that.
I presume MLB 100 meant from the countdown from MLB Network of the 100 of their list of the 100 best players today.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly where that came from. So,
how much was the set for all 100 cards?
Well, the pack was $39, and I only grabbed a couple of packs just because I didn't know what it was going to look like, so I wasn't 100% sure. I was kind of disappointed, so I'm glad I didn't pick up more. So it was like 12 cards per pack. I just thought, I ordered it in February, and it just showed up today. So another reason why I was, I guess that kind of blew the pizzazz as well.
Here's a good question. Do you think the Topps Now can have any legs now that Project 2020 is out? Do you think that people will still go, you know, buy these Topps Now, especially the sets that aren't autographed?
No, I think they hurt themselves with Topps Now, great success, amazing. It's given them a lot of pizzazz, but I bought a lot of Pelonzo rookie cards I bought a lot of rookie cards last year. I bought a lot of the hockey set. I mean, I'm big Topps Now hockey, Kaniac, what's up? So I bought that and jumped that in there so that, you know, because I liked the hockey and wanted to pick up the rookies. And now,
can we give Topps a little bit of a slack though on how long it took to get to you? Because remember, the printing press was closed. So if you ordered it in February, they probably were probably going to make it in March. And if you can't get to work to make the cards, it's kind of hard to get them out when you think you're going to get them. So can we give them a little slack on that?
Yeah, I'll give them. I mean, you and I, Dallas, I mean, you're Frisco. I'm probably 30 minutes away from you.
I live in Plano, and the office is in Allen. As I said, it's been a real joyful afternoon with demonstrations north and south of me today within literally 10 minutes each way.
Yeah, I'm on 380 in Denton, so I know, you know, my brother was driving right by the office, so I understand. It's just, you know.
I think that it gets kind of lost. I mean, because we've seen the project or the Topps Now, like flash, you know, Turn Back the Clock is what they've kind of used to replace not having Topps Now with the new stuff. Jeter has his stuff coming out. But I think, with those things are going to have lower print runs, which in the long run, the collectability goes way up. But the overall, I think, appeal is kind of lost right now with Project 2020 and even Topps Living still being there. So we'll see. We appreciate it, Brad. Yeah, we're going to bring in
I was going to say, I bought some Mickey Moniak, I think, when he was, you know, a draft pick, which obviously was a mistake looking back on it now. But I actually thought the Topps Now cards were kind of cheap in a sense. I just felt like they were really thin. I know they had that like hologram on the background and everything, but to me, I was just like, meh. You know, I would liked it better if they used some kind of more of a chrome technology personally, but you know.
You know, I'm going to hijack this for a second and do a little self-promotion. I had a column run today about new money coming into the hobby. You know, and I think Project 2020 did a big help in that. The fact that we've had time on our hands to revisit our childhood collections or to spend some of the extra stimulus money if we were fortunate enough to keep our jobs or have a job, you know, really helped. Sometimes even if you're on unemployment, you might be making more than you were at your job with that $600 a week extra.
Right.
And I want some of the people in the audience also to start thinking, you know, how good is it really that we've been drawing new people in? As Shep says, we've never had a hobby like this before. I mean, this is almost relating to the 1980s here, where every day we were seeing new people would come into every store, every show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that's, you know, that's where it's taking it back. And it's just been crazy. We have another caller here. What's up, Mike? How are we doing today, buddy?
How is everybody?
Having fun, loving doing a Monday night show. It's actually the early afternoon here, so it's great.
Yeah,
prime time for me.
I didn't realize there were so many Texans in this hobby right now. I'm a Texan too, so
we have a booming hobby here in Texas. Come join us in Dallas.
Yeah, when I have to, I'm about an hour east of Dallas. So,
where are you?
Out Lake Fork, Lake Walking area.
Well, we got a big show coming next weekend. Literally within walking distance of my office and Chef and Steph's office. Come visit.
Awesome. I might have to if I'm not out on the road traveling. So,
okay.
I just want to say thanks for all y'all do. I'm new to the hobby, so. Or newly back to the hobby, and a lot of information out there. You guys have really helped out a lot.
Well, I'm saying, what questions do you have? I mean, what's some of the things that have kind of you've had that have popped up for you through the hobby since coming back?
It's overwhelming. It is 100% overwhelming. I learned quickly to not try to focus on everything, and primarily baseball. In fact, Big Shep, you were my first and only trade so far. I sent you a bunch of stuff, and you sent me a bunch of Rangers cards.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, no, it's just there's so much stuff, but it's helped being able to watch you guys. And then Junk Wax, I spent a lot of time reading through his stuff, CRT. I've done a lot of his stuff too, so it's definitely helpful. I just mainly wanted to call in to get some of that Bowman.
There we go.
Get on the list.
There we go. We'll get you in there. No, outstanding. We appreciate it. Welcome back. And yeah, like I said, I think there's a lot of good resources, and we've talked about on multiple shows. I know ours and a few versions of the Hobby Hotline is that when you come back in, we all learned you can't collect everything. It's too crazy. So, you know, it's like find your team, find your player, and kind of go that way. Buy a little bit of everything if you want, just to kind of get a taste of where you are. Buy into a break or watch a break. And that's my best suggestion, because you get to see what's coming out.
Yeah.
And if something catches your eye, to do that. So, like, you know, there's no way to do it all. You'd be broke instantly.
Yeah.
There's no, you would hate the hobby and you'd feel terrible. So, we have a fan, our buddy here, DFV. He's actually in Australia. He's always wanted to call in and say what's up, but he couldn't because of the time difference. And he's hanging out with us right now.
Nice.
Which is outstanding. So
nice.
I'm just excited if Series 2 has any Rangers cards in it. You know, a lot of Rangers fans have been on lately, and you know, they had that one in Series 1, and their whole reasoning was, oh well, we wanted them in their new uniform and the new stadium. So what's going to be the, I just think someone forgot.
I heard there was going to be some kind of stamp on them too for the inaugural, something like that. That's what they were saying at the million card. Yeah.
But that just sounds like an afterthought, because how many new stadiums have opened up in the past 15 years where they had a stamp on it that says new stadium?
Sure. Well, but in the 90s, there was the inaugural Diamondback set, the inaugural Marlins set, the inaugural Rockies set. There were four sets that they put a stamp on that they issued as factory sets. So that's not a unique concept.
Yeah, but I'm talking packs, though. I mean, so this stuff was like they didn't put them in. Like, I understand that part, and those teams were new to the league. I mean, I personally think that someone went through. They said, oh, they have the rookie, and then they just kind of said, oops. Well,
And I personally brought this up with Clay of Tops. And he said that, you know, yes, we did have those back in the day where VP product development, that is, for Tops. They did have those back in the day. Those were factory sets, though, and that they were intending these to be pack-pulled Ranger new stadium stamped on the card. And apparently they intend to do this for Series 2. I don't know if they go back and reissue the Series 1s, and then which one more expensive. Far be it for me to figure all of that out. But that was their intent, or as Shep would say, their excuse.
Well, no, just I they're covering them. So what's up, Herm? We got 3B Collection hanging out with us today.
What's up? Not much. How y'all doing?
Doing great. What do you have for us today?
I was just going to ask about the release schedules. I've been noticing a lot of variations on the release schedules as far as when stuff comes out. One says one, says the other, and then you go to like pre-order stuff, it says a whole different date. I mean, what's any word on what? Where's the best place to go to look to get the updated? What I guess I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Usually Blowout is pretty on it. I mean, I think with the way things have been being printed now, I think they're not even sure. So I know that's not a great answer, but I think the manufacturer of the cards that make the cards for Panini and Tops are working at about 50% compared to what they used to because of social distancing. So I think they're kind of learning their deadlines at this point. So I think that's why you're kind of seeing stuff get pushed back. The stuff that got released right away, like your Bowman, your Tier 1, that stuff was already pretty much kind of made. Right. I think other stuff is being built. I think they're trying to make deadlines. So it's, you know, I think if you look on a Friday and if something still says it's coming out on Wednesday, I think you could be pretty safe. But stuff does happen as well. I would just keep checking it back on. I go to Blowout for my release calendar. So,
yeah, so I noticed that link in the chat. That's the one that we use for our show. And, you know, yeah, you're right. Usually like Friday is pretty good, but on, I always check Monday, Tuesday, even on Wednesday, sometimes it does change. So it's one of the better ones to, they update every morning. So it's as accurate as possible. So
yeah, and I actually noticed that these were essentially the two replies that you got when you had asked publicly the other day. Was one, well, if only there was a show that covered this, but two, Beckett and Blowout, which had already been mentioned, are great resources for the new release calendar.
Yeah, I checked Blowout their release schedule, like on say the Donruss, Diamond Kings. I want to say it. If you look at their release schedule, it says it's releasing on the 10th. And if you go to the pre-order website, it says the 26th.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what might not have been updated, or the other, and I can look some more into that. I think that it's one of those kind of things is you don't want to over-promise and under-deliver,
right?
When someone's doing the pre-order, so if you get it to them faster than they expect, then it makes people happy that way.
Yeah, I think the calendar is probably more correct than the listing itself. The listing itself might have been because, maybe during while the manufacturers were shut down, they may have had that arbitrary date on it, and maybe they just didn't change it.
So. Yeah, because a lot of stuff got pushed to June 26th. I know that.
And the reason a lot of stuff gets pushed to June 26th is most of the card companies, at least back in the day, worked on the quarterly system.
Yep.
Well, June 26th is the last Friday of the month of June.
Yes.
So if you want to hit your numbers for the second quarter, when are you going to get it out? June 26th.
Yeah.
So that's why the date is June 26th. We don't know what we don't know, as I once said when this whole first started. But I think you will see several releases come on or about that date just to hit the second quarter to help the card companies hit their second quarter numbers.
Right.
And
a lot of stuff that was scheduled for the 26th.
I think you'll see that from all sports, from all companies. It'll be a fascinating week to see what does really well and what doesn't then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and in terms of quarters, I like how you mentioned that, because get ready for the most epic December of all time in this hobby. I mean, you may have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday releases, because they're going to be basically all backed up and they have to get it out fourth quarter. So there's going to be so many releases in December this year. It's going to make
stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks.
Yeah.
I started thinking of Alexander O'Neill and Sherelle from the 80s single Saturday Love.
Yeah, right?
that when he started doing all those dates, that's what I started thinking of.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's going to be crazy. Well, thanks, Herman. We appreciate the support. Good evening. Love, Herman. Just awesome. Been a big support of all the shows lately. And so Doug, give us a perspective. What's it kind of been like the last 3 or 4 months doing breaking, with people being locked in and not being able to maybe go to card shops? They've been shut down. Card shows just gone. What's it been like for you guys?
Crazy. I mean, more busier than we've ever been. I mean, when March 18th hit, we had news from, Mr. Newsom saying shelter in place, non-essential businesses need to send your employees home. So we basically sent our shipping department home. We still paid them the entire time. We didn't think there was going to be any demand for breaks, because we're like, okay, people are going to be, saving their money and making sure they have food and all that stuff. But because everybody was home, it ramped up. I mean, it ramped up to the point where we could have done like 15 breaks a day, but we did 8. Because we couldn't get it out in time, because myself and Dan and TJ were shipping and we just couldn't keep up with our 3 to 4. We have a 3 to 5 business day deadline. We don't want to go, we don't want to exceed that. So it would be irresponsible for us to do 20 breaks in a day, even though the demand said it, and then make people wait 2-3 weeks. So we're doing 10 to 12 a day. We're trying to stick to only like hit based products so that we can get them out quicker. And, now we finally got our shipping department back. We've moved to a big building now, a bigger building, and we're going to be opening up a newer shop. And it's been crazy. I've been working harder now than I ever have. And, but the response from the community has been great. It's, people have been coming in the chat and we've been helping them keep their mind off of all this bad stuff, that's going through the news. And, I think the community's really grown because of that, especially in our chat.
No, I damn it. That's awesome.
And I think we've all learned just how popular this hobby is, not just for, it really regenerated interest. And I agreed with Doug. I thought we were going to have a major downturn. As a matter of fact, the third part of the triumvirate, the Howard Cosell part of the About the Cards triumvirate, said, and I agreed with him at the time that, people weren't going to buy cards because they were going to use that money for rice and beans, in his words. I agree with him, and teaches me a good lesson about agreeing with him, but that's a different subject.
Never do.
But there is something about enjoying. And Doug, it's to your credit, you just kept paying everybody. Yeah. And I don't know if you applied or got a PPP loan or not, and that's not my business. But if you did, if you didn't, you're the type of person that should have gotten one, because you did because you were doing exactly what you should be doing during that period.
Yep. 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 I mean, our team has been, you know, working hard for us. So why be like, oh, we're going to furlough you and good luck on unemployment. You know, it's just not what a team is about. So.
Mm-hmm. No, and again, you never paid me for anything. And I've always said this since I started, you know, buying breaks from you guys and, you know, enjoying the content you put out. The best of the business. And then that's really, thanks. I mean, and to be able to do the show with you, like watch what you guys have, where you've come. And Dan and I talked about this, about like the old bathrobe ad and yeah. all those fun early breaks, yeah. like yeah. from there to now and all the stuff that you guys have done and how you treat your customers, how you treat your employees, that like it really shows off. And it's been awesome because being able to work from home and trying to, and all this other stuff going on, having a distraction to be able to sit and watch breaks and see also too, it helps us for our show to see what's out there and we can talk about it. Cause
right.
that same night you guys are opening the stuff in the morning. We're able to talk about it that night. It's been great. And so I appreciate the feedback of what's going on there and that you guys were so busy. Cause I wouldn't have had the same thought, you know, that people would have clamped up spending, yeah. but
right.
spending exploded. And then like the documentary of Jordan came out and made people come back and buy. And my eBay store isn't anything to talk about. I mean, it's nothing different than a lot, but every day for the last, I don't know, four months, I'm going to the post office every day or two, just with stacks of singles, you know,
right, going to the door. Right.
It's been crazy. Like, and I don't understand, like all of a sudden,
I know it's nuts. I mean, and I think what you saw with some of the products too is what we were dealing with was when it first happened, and then we started seeing our business still running at a great pace. Is that all the breakers were like, well, there may not be products for like 3 months, so we got to buy whatever's left. So then you see all like 19 football going up. You see in 2020 definitive go higher than it should have been. You're seeing all this hoarding of the product because maybe hey, we don't know when products are going to come out. And then you got like a 2019 Chronicles football that came out, which in my opinion should be $120 to $150 box. It's like now a $300 box because it's the last football product, and we were just in so need of a new product. So it's just crazy how it's been.
And I'd like to add on that you guys had the best shirts in the business.
Oh, thanks.
But Shep says. Last Friday, you know, and you saw with Stefan's desk, you know, what I did is I went to the stores. I went to two stores looking for 3,200 count boxes so I could process more stuff and get them, because that's how I know to make sure that's for the synagogue, is they go into 3,200 count boxes and I buy the boxes usually, unless we are doing the putting the cards into the bags, where then I keep the boxes and recycle those. And one store, only open 11 to 4, was incredibly busy at that time. It was a little disappointing because even though the owner would prefer masks, very few of the customers were wearing masks, but that's a different subject. Mm-hmm. But he's doing his best to keep the store as pristine as possible. And the other store was quiet at that time, but I went in to buy the boxes and he had 3,200 count boxes ready. And the owner happened to be there, and I go, "You want me to leave you a couple?" He says, "No, we got plenty. Don't worry about it." But to show you what it was like at the second floor, when I left, there was one two-row shoebox and one monster box left among boxes.
Jeez. Oh yeah,
and there were some smaller boxes, but that's how much supplies they were selling at the second floor. And,
like top loaders going for $5 a pack right now.
Oh, it's silly. Yeah,
because they can't get in. And you know, one touches and stuff like that, and the penny sleeves. And so I think that's been also too, I mean, just because the demand's there, but the supply is not. And usually you're able to get that all day long. If you're, you know, if anything, you know, you get supplies all day long, anywhere you go, online or card shops. And now it's just.
So well, back in the day, I know some card stores that stayed open by literally buying and selling supplies because it was all reorderable. Hey, we made money and we'll get more. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
How are we doing today, bud?
Congratulations on the Monday night show.
Thank you.
I had a question and a comment. Okay. The comment is I think we all kind of read the hobby wrong these last couple of months. I thought that the hobby was going to crash because of COVID-19, but I think one of the reasons why it didn't is that even though we have 15% unemployment, a lot of the people losing their jobs are at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum. So a lot of us, you know, people who can work from home, we have a lot more disposable income.
Sure.
I don't think a whole lot of people, including myself, kind of realize that at first. So,
well, I agree with you there. And I almost kind of look at this. I don't want to compare cards to stock markets. I mean, I think about Ben might jump on if I say that, but you know what I mean? But if you looked at the stock market, when everything happened, you've seen the stock market go down to 18,000 points, right? Well, it was kind of a changing of the guard. Now it's back up. So those people sold stocks and then new people bought stocks. I think you're seeing some of that in the high end market. Maybe not so much on like the smaller single market, but like on the LeBrons, on the Kobe's and stuff like that, you're seeing people get out, new people get in. And it's just changing. And those cards are going up because of that, because now those new people want the Kobe's, they want the LeBrons and stuff like that. Just raising it up, just kind of like what the stock market did to get back to
that. And I came up with five reasons in the article that posted on GTS today as to why we're welcoming, and I'll use the term, and I know that offends somebody, new money, but it's like, you know, Gary Vee's been pumping cards. I'm going to use the word pumping cards. There's probably a better term, but he's been into the cards and he's got millions of followers. Project 2020 brought the art people in. There are some sneaker people who came in. And as I said, then there are the people who got extra income. And like, we're talking about people, middle, upper middle class, working at home, not commuting, or if they have a commute like I did, it was a 10-minute commute with nobody else in the office. And all of a sudden, you know, my cost of getting to work went way down. You know, I wasn't really commuting very much.
People aren't eating out as much.
Then you're also, and the fifth thing is, people may have brought their cards from home or looked at, oh, the cards are in the closet. Oh, I've got extra time at home. Let me look at these cards.
Yep.
Oh, I had so much fun with these. Let me see what's happening today. Oh, I can buy a team in a break and get a signed card of my favorite Yankee player.
Sure. Or even if something as little as you've got a wedding coming up and you got to go buy a new tux or a new shirt, you haven't been doing that for 3 months, right? Because you're not leaving the house. So you've got that money. I haven't bought clothes in a couple months. You know what I mean? So, and then the sneaker guys like to wear their sneakers outside. So they're probably less apt to buy three pairs of sneakers. Maybe they only buy one to hold and they're not able to wear it out and show it off in front of their friends. So they've got that money for cards now.
Yeah. No, a lot's changed. And I think so too is boredom, right?
Yeah.
More people stuck at home and like, what am I going to do? You know,
This is sports. Yep.
On YouTube opening packs of cards. Sports.
Yeah. If I haven't found a blaster, open a pack in a while, if I go get a, you know, get gas or whatever at the gas station, I'm buying a scratcher or two. And that's not typical, but it's just like, hey, I haven't opened any packs. I need something to fill this little bit of a void, you know. And it's been crazy. Yeah. And then it does become a sport. And
you know, it's funny. I was thinking about it too. Some of these guys' values have gotten frozen in time. I mean, what if Zion got hurt again? You know, what if John Morant started like shooting 20%? Like, it's like their values just got frozen for now. They're like, that's it.
The NBA and the NHL, their season got complete enough. We know what happened in the NBA. We can say this is good enough.
Yeah.
You know, that Leon Dranset or whatever his name is, who scored 100 points or 112 points, and that's a pretty good year, even if it played 82 games, 70 games.
Sure.
Just as good. You know, Zion, we're left with – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. And I just wanted to get my question in,
The one sport that we really are going to see what's going to be interesting is going to be baseball.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting a full baseball season. Right. I think everybody understands we're not getting a full baseball season.
Yep.
If we get a season.
So the question that I have.
We're not getting a full season. Let's hope that at least we get something. But we're going to have a sprint, not the 6-month season, which I really enjoy. And it's going to be interesting to see, because every other sport may be able, basically just, it's like a blip. Yep. Baseball is the one that's not going to have a blip. Baseball is going to have a blop. I mean, 50 games, 82 games, 100 games, it's not 162. Right. Mike Trout's not hitting 40 homers. He may have 10 homers, which in a 50-game season is not bad.
Sure.
So, Chris, what's your question, bud?
So the question that I had is that I think we'll be lucky if we get a baseball season at all, because it's looking like we may not have a season this year, and we may not even have a season next year because the CBA is up next year.
Right.
So my question to all you guys, I don't know if you have any input with Topps or any of the other companies, but what are the contingency plans if there is no season? And not just in baseball, but what if we don't have a conclusion to the NBA or the NHL season? Are we going to have cards this year? I mean, they just released last year the sell sheets for Topps update, but what if there's not a season to update? What's right. the point?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that.
Are we going to have mass cancellations of products?
Well, we talked a little bit about Saturday being where back in the day, you know, they had rookie and update, or rookie and highlight, or update and highlight, or whatever it was called.
Update and highlights.
Yeah, and so, you know, maybe it's the highlights from the last decade that's filled that set, and it doesn't have a lot of, you know, young call-ups because there was no season. You know, I think we need to look back to the strike in 94 to fill in the other seasons of baseball and hockey and basketball, where if there's no conclusion, those guys are going to pick up next year because there's not going to be a labor indifference with those guys. They're going to be able to hop back in and start. It's just that we're going to kind of have this unfinished, like that All-Star game, right? That ended in a tie. Yeah. Thanks, Bud Selig. And so it just kind of, and I think that we're all going to let it leave. Like KU was going to win a national title in basketball this year. They were the number one seed consensus. There was no tournament. I'm marking them down that they won the title this year. But, no, it's just I think it's all wait and see. I think no one truly knows. And I don't think we're going to have baseball this year because the owners don't want to pay the players because the revenue is not going to be there. But the players came back and said, hey, we want to play 114 games. Here we go. We don't want to play your 80-game season. Let's do 114. And they said, no. The Royals have no money. The Royals are a small market poor team, yet they're continuing to pay all their minor leaguers. Yep. Where you have the Red Sox cutting people.
The A's.
Come on. Yep. Yeah, the Royals can afford to pay minor leaguers. Why can't these other teams?
Because the owners have a lot of money. The organization may be a small market, but if you have a billionaire owner, paying the minor league players is a small blip. I was actually talking to a friend of mine last night about that. And it's one of these silly things. If they end up doing replacement players, my comment was, you basically just cut your backup replacement players, which was kind of silly. I mean, saving $1,000 now to spend $2,000 later is not exactly great business. Spend $1,000 now. And if you don't need it, it's pocket change to most of these guys. There are a couple organizations where the owners really don't have tons of money. And for them, it probably is a very legitimate financially based business decision. But out of 30 teams in baseball, it might be three that's really a legitimate baseball decision.
To get to what Chris was saying, what I think Topps would do is what they would probably do is they'd probably pivot to a legend veteran based set. Like, we don't need another Archive Signatures, but maybe something like Archive Signatures tribute.
We don't need another Archives.
Period. Yeah, we don't need an Archives, period. You're exactly right there. But they're probably going to do something that doesn't have rookie content if we get to that point where there's no baseball going into next year.
It's going to be very.
Do you see like products being canceled, though, outright?
They will try their damnedest to not.
So few pre-orders that it's not even worth making the product.
Right, right. I mean, update, they may be safe because they don't have to – correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows this. I don't think the MLBPA, they have to play it. Do they have to play a game? They just have to be on the 40-man, right? So they can
– No. They have to play a game first. You have to play now. It's just like hockey. You have to play.
So, there was one thing about the sell sheet that I did notice is that there's going to be a top prospect insert set. And they had a card of Joe Adell that was mocked up and – I don't recall seeing non-40-man, non-25-man prospects or minor leaguers in a Topps-branded product in a while. Even going back to when Topps was a publicly traded company and they had to put their license agreement in their in their 10K reports. You know, their licenses back then was you can only include non-40-man players in Bowman and one Topps product a year.
Right.
I don't even remember the last time a Topps branded product had prospects in it.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think they could cross over that way. You don't. That's why. Why wouldn't they just make products that have both Bowman and Topps guys in it if they could do it then?
So I just have a question for Uncle Rich. So you know, we saw and Bo brought this up. Otani had rookie cards before he played, and Luis Robert already has rookie cards, yet he hasn't debuted yet.
I don't know what happened with Luis Robert, because based on everything that I've always known over the years, he's not played in the game, and so he probably shouldn't have a card unless they worked out a new arrangement that if you signed a major league contract, that now compensates. There's no minor league, you know, set down for him.
Yeah.
So maybe that they were able, maybe that's the new loophole. If you have a major league contract, you can have a card, even if it's, and maybe Joe Adell has a split contract, major and minor league.
I'm
shooting here.
Here's an idea. I don't know if you guys have ever opened Artifacts Hockey, but you know how they have those team-specific redemptions?
Yes.
You know, they could possibly – I mean, I hope they wouldn't, but that might be a way to get White Sox rookie, you know, White Sox rookie autograph, and it'd be a redemption. I mean, that's something they could do.
And if I remember, the only thing he was on before the season ended, there was some heritage card that they found some sneaky way to get him
in.
And then all the other Otanis were not issued until he actually appeared.
It was a gimmick.
And just, I mean, back in 2007, when Daisuke Matsusaka came up, all his cards were basically ready to go because he had signed a major league contract, but they actually waited until he made the roster. And then like 2 days after he made the roster, oh, here's Daisuke's first cards.
Right.
You know, the Boston Red Sox 15-card team set retail showed up 2 days after he made his major league debut. Gee, they didn't wait.
2007 Upper Deck Series 1 had a bunch of redemptions in it for rookies.
Yep.
It was like Daisuke, K. Igawa, remember him?
Yep.
And a bunch of other jabronis.
Yep.
Well, Brad got excited. He said he needed to come back in the show.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait for these prospect cards. I saw that exactly what you're talking about on Twitter. I fell in love immediately with these cards. They're back to that 1975-76 classic Topps look. I cannot wait.
I think it's 89, actually.
Okay, 89. But still, that classic look that hasn't
been beaten into the ground.
But I'm getting back into the hobby. Come on, man. Golly. You want me to start ripping on the East Coast again? Good grief.
Do it.
Hey, there were some good players, the Tops of the Future Stars with. I mean, Steve Avery, Greg Jeffries,
I'd love to see a return for 92 Bowman. Get guys next to their cactuses and their car and
Monday
have them slam dunk a baseball like Cliff Floyd.
And Mariano Rivera hanging out with his clothes, like looking like he's leaning on a lamp.
Look like glamour shots for your high school graduation, you know?
Right.
Note to self, don't jump in next time on this conversation.
Chris and Brad, thank you so much, guys. We appreciate hanging out with us. And we're going to get to an hour show. We're going to stick to it. The Mojo Break giveaway, the two hobby boxes. So what we're going to do is we're going to have they've been awesome enough to give out one for Twitter and one for Facebook.
Yep.
And all you need to do, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run this for 2 weeks. So all you need to do is to tag 5 friends, ask them to follow and sub to the show on Facebook or Twitter. Use the hashtag Hobby Hotline Heat. And what we'll do is we're going to tabulate. Drew's going to take care of Facebook. I'm going to take care of Twitter. And then in 2 weeks, Monday the 14th, we'll do a giveaway for both products, both releases there, and or both boxes. And have fun. And all the guys that called in today, I have a list of your names. You guys will be added in as well for the giveaways. But guys, any final thoughts before we head out on episode 1 of Hobby Hotline Monday Night Heat?
I was going to mention real quick about Bowman because I know a lot of people are buying into Bowman. And one of the effects of not having baseball is, you know, we're all chasing Jason Dominguez, Bobby Witts, you know, a few other names. there's a lot of names that I feel like could be bargains for you guys out there that are going for like $10, $20 for base autos because they just frankly have not played yet. So usually during Bowman time, when this comes out, a lot of these guys have had some at-bats in rookie ball, spring training, stuff like that, and there's some other guys to collect. So if you focus on possibly grabbing some hitters out of here for some somewhat big market teams, there's a lot of guys that aren't named Jason Dominguez or Bobby Witt that are very, very good bargains. Huh?
A guy maybe named Anthony. Anthony Vlope.
Vlope, yep. He's
I saw some guy pull a super fractor him the other day.
I know, some idiot. He got way excited.
No, yeah. So I mean, really, like last year when Bowman dropped at this time, like Julio Rodriguez came out, Juan Pablo Martinez. There were a lot of like sub guys that kind of got a little bit of a cult following because, you know, they weren't the big names, but they were priced right and then they shot up, and so it brings kind of everybody up. Right now, we don't know who those guys are because we're not seeing spring training. We're not seeing them play in double A and single A and get that love. So if you're smart or you just want to take a chance, yeah, definitely. Do you have a guy? Like, is there a guy you're looking out?
Not yet. I mean, I like the Giants kid, Cannon, but I haven't really. I've been just buying any under $20 autos, really, just going on eBay and just dropping a $20 bid, and I've surprisingly been winning a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So.
And I can tell you, prices are coming down, it seems like, a little bit on the chromes. I was picking up Bobby Witt chromes last night from some folks for $5.
Wow, nice.
So, you know, being a Royals fan, I was like, hey, like this is awesome because these were, you know, a week ago they were like 15, 16. So,
sure.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Yep, definitely.
Uncle Rich, any final thoughts tonight, bud?
Yes. I just want to say, do you realize how blessed we all are? That we are. Three of the four of us are full-time in the hobby. And Shep, you're almost full time with everything you do.
Yeah, I try.
And
don't tell my boss.
I won't. And we get to play. We get to live memories. Yep. We get to do things that we enjoy. And how many of us in life really end up doing things we can enjoy on a daily basis? You know, when I talked about it and I posted before I signed on. The demonstrations north of me, the marches south of me. I got to spend an hour talking baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's much better than hearing about marches and unrest in the street and COVID-19 and the rest of the world going on.
100%.
We're truly blessed, and we need to remember that.
Yep.
No, I second that. You know, today was not my favorite day at work, and you know, some other things. It's just kind of been a frustrating day, but to come on and hang out with you guys for the last hour, you know, really awesome. Turn the day around, and I love it. I mean, this week, you know, I did about the cards Wednesday. Thursday, I talked to Dr. Beckett. Saturday, I did the hobby hotline with Steph and Dan, and then today I hop on. I'm with you guys, and so it's been a crazy couple like week and talking about cards. I've had so much fun, and you know, just to get to know you guys and hang out, like, I mean, to have met all of you finally, right, last year, and to look back and be able to spend time and have fun with the stuff that we enjoyed as kids, and, you know, you guys actually having a living at it, that's amazing, you know. So I get to have fun on the sides a little bit when I make time, and it's been great, so I appreciate it. Steph, anything before we leave tonight, bud?
Two quick things. One, a preview of a just-announced Topps Now, or part of 2020, rather. Sandy Koufax there.
Nice
with the Brooklyn Bridge going on.
Mm-hmm.
And two, are there a better looking parallel than the pink fireworks?
Those are nice.
And since this is a airbrushed San Francisco Giant, but that's him in a Twins uniform. Sorry, Shep. mine.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I love those. Just, you know, God, how awesome would it be if you had the orange and black SF on there? But, you know, hey.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yep. guys, remember live every Monday night at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Periscope, and Facebook. Make sure to subscribe and review our show on all platforms. You always follow us on Hobby Hotline, and we all have our handles here listed. And then make sure that you hit, you tell five friends about us on either Facebook or Twitter, and use the hashtag Hobby Hotline Heat. And we're going to run that for 2 weeks, and we'll do a great giveaway. And so we appreciate it, and we'll see you all on Saturday and then again on Monday. Everyone, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.